coming up in the podcast. You really do need to think long term when you think of making money back on the costs of self-publishing. You do need to look at it as the lifetime of the book. Welcome to Amelia's Behind the Scenes Author Diary, an exclusive look at the behind-the-scenes misadventures of a 30-something mystery author. Discover how close she is to releasing her latest novel, hear exciting details about upcoming writing projects, and discover the lessons she has learned along her writing journey so you don't have to make the same mistakes. You can find the episode show notes and lots more information at authorpreneurpodcast.com/podcast. Hello, writers. Throughout the pre-order and launch period of the release of The Candidate, I experienced a series of frustrating issues with Apple Books. While I was struggling with Apple Books, I decided to redesign the ebook's cover. Then I went on to design the paperback based upon this new theme. And this new design had surprising results on the ARC giveaways for The Candidate. Also, I started paying attention to the results of using BookSirens and Booksprout. This led me to decide whether I recommend you use these advanced reader services. So stay tuned for all of this and much more. Just to let you know, this episode was recorded on Friday, the 7th of January, so this show is primarily me looking back at December. If you're on YouTube, you'll notice that I've gone back to an audio-only version of the podcast. I've had to pull the plug on the video podcast episode because I couldn't do everything and something had to go. Throughout this episode, I'll be referencing tools and services that I've used. If you're interested in reading the transcript or would like links to anything that I've mentioned in the show, then check out the very long blog post or edited transcript at authorpreneurpodcast.com/BTS047. And if you're new to this podcast, I want to say a huge thank you for stopping by and trying out my show. To those of you who've been faithfully listening, thank you for regularly listening in and supporting me. Your support means more to me than you know. During my pre-order period, Apple Books kept changing the sale price of The Candidate from 99 cents back to full price in all territories. And this didn't just happen once, it happened several times. It was as if I was changing the price every week. After several checks, I realized it was definitely Apple and not me entering the wrong dates. And when you change prices on Apple, especially if you go through iTunes Producer, you have to set the price and then change the price in every single territory. So it ends up being there's like 50 options. And while you can tick them in groups, it's just really difficult. And sometimes the prices don't change to what you want them to. So you get it. It's super difficult. So having to do it every week was driving me spare. The pattern has continued after the release date when I had my 99 cent sale until the 31st of December. I have no idea why they're doing this, but I'm not going to keep discounting my books on Apple because this is getting ridiculous and I have better things to do with my time. Have you experienced this with Apple or is it just me? Or maybe they've changed the rules somehow. Maybe you can only do a price for a week. I don't know. It's just, you get it. It's getting stupid. At the end of November, I designed a new cover for The Candidate. In the original design, I wanted to go for a black and white feel with a splash of colour, and I intended on using this style for all 12 short novels or novellas. When I created the design, I envisioned the series to be a collection of short stories, but it didn't turn out like that. With me, nothing ever does. During the redesign, I considered the paperback edition when I made the ebook cover. I chose an image that would wrap around the entire cover of the paperback, so I had to strategically place the image on the ebook cover. And also, when I designed the paperback, I had to place the image so it looked exactly the same, and it wasn't as easy as I envisioned, but I figured it out. Thanks to the redesign, I received more downloads in BookSirens and Booksprout. Over on Goodreads, I had to ask a librarian to create a special edition so I could upload a new cover. On Goodreads, if you change the cover of a book that's already uploaded, it's really difficult to upload a new cover. You have to go into this group and ask a librarian, provide all the links. It's a bit silly, but over on the blog, I've included a screenshot of what I wrote to the librarian to make this happen. At the beginning of December, I created the paperback covers for KDP Print and Ingram Spark. I created two separate editions because the parameters are slightly different and it's less hassle this way. The paperback size, design, and interior are identical for both printers, so I use the same ISBN. Because I'm in the UK, I purchased ISBNs in bulk from Nielsen when I first published Missing at the start of 2020. While we're on the topic of cover designs, I've been toying with the idea of creating a hardback edition of The Candidate, and I heard that hardbacks are available on KDP Print, so naturally I was excited. But when I went to my dashboard, I realized that hardbacks on KDP Print don't have the dust jacket. The editions are only case laminate, and I don't like that look on a hardback. It's just not right. Nevertheless, I checked on Ingram Spark and I noticed that I could create a hardback with a dust jacket. So I downloaded the template. Since then, I shelved the idea so I could look at other hardback novellas and see what other designers have done with the covers, because I'm not sure what to put on the back cover and inside the dust jacket. I know case laminate is cheaper, but if you're going to design or have a hardback edition, you may as well go the extra mile and have that dust jacket, because that's really what makes hardback covers look incredibly beautiful, or in my opinion anyway. And I have purchased hardbacks on KDP on Amazon, and I think they're from self-published authors who have used Ingram and just used the case laminate, and they're just not pretty. I won't show you a copy because I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but I think they don't look good. But that's just me. Obviously, a bit of a snob. Well, it's just become apparent to me that I might be a bit of a book snob. Just a side note, throughout this episode, you're going to hear the traffic that's outside. It's currently 4:45 and I actually live along Main Road and there is natural heavy traffic, but there doesn't seem to be any breaks and it's making it really difficult to record podcast episodes. And I've done one every day this week, or one Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, and I'm on a roll, like I'm catching up because this is December and I just want to stay on track with this podcast this year. I want to really try and be consistent. I know that's a bit of a joke, but you're going to hear a bit of traffic. It's until I move. It's sad that our next location is probably going to be chosen with recording my podcast in mind. Sad but true. If you've heard something useful in this episode that was helpful to you and you'd like to support the show, then buy me a coffee for as little as $2 at buymeacoffee.com/author-ADHay. There's a part of me that wants to publish an audiobook for The Candidate, not because the sales are a hit, but because I love to listen to audiobooks and I'm often disappointed that some of the books I want to read aren't available in this format. For me, this format makes sense, but it may not be a great business decision. Now that I've said that, I think if you publish audiobooks or if you publish books in general, you really shouldn't be looking to make money back in the launch week unless you've got like a massive list. And for someone who is newly published, it's not a realistic goal. You really do need to think long term when you think of making money back on the costs of self-publishing. You do need to look at it as the lifetime of the book. And because we no longer have contracts for print runs for a short amount of time, you do have more time to try and to make a return on investment. So to make a return on investment on a book, you really do need to think of the lifetime of a book and not, oh, it's after the launch period, whatever that is. I haven't made back the money I spent. I think it really does need to be a long-term thing, especially with things that are quite expensive, like audiobooks. Even though my audiobook is going to be quite short, so realistically, it's only going to be 2 or 3 hours long. So that's, I think roughly it's going to be about $300 per finished hour. So that could be $900, $900 to $1,000 potentially. So I'm obviously hoping to make that money back and more throughout the lifetime of the book. It's a risk, which is why I sort of say it might not be a good business decision, but I won't know until I try it. However, before I consider an audiobook for The Candidate, I want to go through and make a few minor changes. In the reviews, I've realized that I've used a few pet phrases that I want to eliminate from the manuscript. The changes won't be enough to consider it a second edition, but I need to do it before the audiobook is created because I want the Kindle WhisperSync for Voice feature to work. And I feel like the audiobook sets the book in stone almost. Well, yeah, because you don't want to re-record the audiobook because it's a little pricey, which is why I haven't done one for Missing. As I alluded to earlier, it's the way I love to read. Eventually, I want to create omnibus editions of the ebook, paperback, and audiobooks for the Rookie Reporter series. So my plan is to publish 12 shorter works in the Rookie Reporter series, and I want to bunch them together in groups so you listen to a few of the stories at once, but you can also buy them one at a time if that's what you want. Over on the Amazon UK store, I received my first 3-star review for The Candidate. It was one of those reviews where it sounds positive, but the rating is low. Personally, I consider a 3-star review as it was okay, which doesn't quite match the written review underneath. Nevertheless, it's a better review than the first ratings I received for the first edition of Missing. These ratings were on Goodreads and were 2 and 3 stars. As you can guess, I panicked. And I think you can see the evidence of that panic in one of the episodes of the Behind the Scenes Author Diary. Unfortunately, I didn't actually record my panicking about my first few book reviews. I silently panicked. And I think that's what really started my mindset issues after I published my first book. And then they took a nosedive with the Readsy Discovery reviewer, and they took a huge nosedive after that. Actually, looking back, I wish I did talk about it because I think it would have been helpful. But back to The Candidate. I don't know why people do this, because personally, I wouldn't want to be the first review of a book and leave a review or rating less than 4 stars. Anyone who looks at the book's page will see my review. There's a part of me that likes the idea of getting lost in a sea of other reviews and not standing out from the crowd. Perhaps this is the point I want to make. Quite often, reviews will speak more about the reviewers than the book itself. In no way am I saying that my book is perfect. I know it isn't, but if, like me, your first review at a major store is 3 stars, don't panic. Shift your focus onto something else, like writing the next book, because there's nothing you can do about the review. Nothing good will come from interacting with readers. There are tons of examples of authors complaining on sites like Twitter or even Goodreads. Don't do it. It will not end well for you. And I've never interacted with a reader. I do feel a bit bad about talking about the types of reviews I'm getting because, I don't know, I feel like I'm crossing some type of line a little bit, but I'm doing it for educational purposes because not many people will go into, maybe not detail, but we'll talk about what it's like to get your first few reviews and actually sort of say what ratings they are and sort of talk about the comments that you do get as a newer author, because this is my 3rd published work, 5th book I've written. So I'm trying to do it for educational reasons. I'm not trying to pan my readers. Now for the results. How many reviews did I receive from Book Sirens? Over on Goodreads, I received 13 reviews in total. Here's how they are broken down. I received 4 5-star reviews, 4 4-star reviews, 4 3-star reviews, and 1 2-star review. In regards to the 4-star reviews, one of those was from Booksprout. The same reviewer also left a review on Kobo, Google Play, Apple, and Barnes & Noble. And that's the main difference between Booksprout and Book Sirens. On Book Sirens, it's easier to find advanced readers, but most of the reviews are left on Goodreads only, which is fine, and only a small number of readers will post the review on sites like Amazon, etc. During the latter half of December, I received 1 5-star rating and 1 4-star rating after promoting my novella on Bargain Booksy. These ratings plus the ARC reviews gave my book an average of 3.93 stars on Goodreads. And I think of, as of today, I've got 14 written reviews, 16 ratings, and I have a 3.94 average. However, I received 2 5-star reviews on BookBub plus an extra 2 follows. On top of this, I have 5 reviews over on Amazon. Here's how they are broken down. 2 5-star reviews, 2 4-star reviews, 1 3-star review. These reviews give my book an average of 4.1 stars. To be honest, I'm super happy with this because it's better than the results I have with Missing. Over on Booksprout, after I changed the book cover, I ran a 2nd advanced reader promotion. Unlike the first run where I received 1 reviewer, in the 2nd, 4 reviewers picked up The Candidate. Here's a breakdown of the reviews I received. 3 4-star reviews and 2 3-star reviews. And this data, as small as it is from both of those runs, obviously. Based on the above data, my book has a 3.8-star average on Booksprout. One of those 3-star reviews contains no information about why the reviewer gave me this rating. The review is simply a rehash of my book description, so I'm at a loss as to why I was given the 3-star rating. The other 3-star review, while brief, was actually positive and said it was a good start to the series. While the rating is low, the review is good. So that's the second one of those sort of low rating, good reviews that I've received. Or maybe they're the same. I'm not 100% sure now. By now, you're probably wondering whether I recommend using paid services like BookSirens or Booksprout, especially if you're a newly self-published author. Yes, I recommend using both of these services. If you had to choose only one, I would go with BookSirens and purchase the Promote plan, because they will promote your books to readers by adding your story into a group genre giveaway. Over on the blog post, I have an image of one of the promotions that my novella The Candidate was in, just so you can see what I'm talking about. And they've done this twice actually with The Candidate, and each time I've picked up a few extra advanced readers. So why do I recommend you use these services? These services will help you put your book in front of readers who like to leave reviews and love your genre. With that in mind, some reviewers believe that to be taken seriously as a reviewer, they need to be critical. But that doesn't mean the opinions aren't valuable. Just be aware that you are inviting criticism and not necessarily an opinion on whether they enjoyed reading the book. It goes without saying, but I highly recommend you use paid beta readers, a line editor, and a proofreader before you enlist these services. So that's all the tasks I completed in terms of writing, book marketing, and email marketing. By the end of January, I want to have written the first draft of the second story in the Rookie Reporter mystery series. And I also want to design the hardback cover for The Candidate and complete a minor rewrite as well. If you have any questions or tips on book marketing that you would love to share with me, please come over to the blog post and share your thoughts in the comments section below, and I'll share your tips in an upcoming episode of the podcast. Thank you for listening, and happy reading and writing, everybody. Thank you for listening to Amelia's Behind the Scenes Author Diary. You can find the episode show notes, back catalogue episodes, and lots more information at authorpreneurpodcast.com/podcast. I'm your host, Amelia, and I'll see you in the next Behind the Scenes Author Diary episode.